come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Rosen intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. I'm Paul Dottino. This is Jeff Fiegels. We'll be here for the next hour to take your phone calls, questions, and comments regarding Giants football. They'll be hosting the New England Patriots on Sunday at MetLife Stadium. The undefeated Patriots, I might add, in case you didn't know that.
Who cares? Been
on the moon.
Who cares? I don't care.
One of three. In any event, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. That's our phone number if you want to give us a call. Or if you want to get us on Twitter, it's hashtag Giants Chat. He is at Jay Fiegels. I am at Giants WFAN. So we'll get to your comments there in case you don't want to make the phone call. A little shy, a little bashful for whatever reason. But we certainly invite you to join the conversation. Again, 201-939-4513. Now, Jeff, before we get to our fans and our listeners on the program today, I just did want to touch on some of the moves that have occurred this week.
Yeah.
You have not been in since Monday,
yep.
I believe.
I have been following.
Of course.
Yeah.
We talked about it a bit yesterday, and then, of course, the Giants went out to practice, and we learned that Justin Pugh did not have a concussion. He only had dehydration, so that was good. We learned that Will Beatty was not going to be activated off of PUP because he needs rotator cuff surgery. And we learned that Prince Amukamara, while progressing very well, coming back from his pectoral injury, not quite ready, apparently. Still possible, but not likely for Sunday. So those are the three things that have happened over the course of the last 48 hours.
Well, the three major things, maybe. But this team still continues to have a lot of injuries. We can talk about the linebacker position a little bit, you know. I mean,
well, when John Beeson went on injured reserve earlier in the week, I think, you know, there are a lot of people who, A, were disappointed because you certainly wanted to have him back without question. I also think that from listening to the fans, you know, that we've talked to over the course of even the off season, it can't be unexpected because he has had trouble staying on the field.
Well, yeah. Listen, it's crazy to think that he didn't miss any games when he played in Carolina. But, you know, then age catches up with you and you get these injuries and this and that. And the reason I kind of set you up for that, because I'm telling you right now, if they don't take care of business from the linebacking position this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
And that's, in all seriousness, that's going to be, and I'm just telling you, the Jeff Fiegels, look out now, wherever it's at coming from, there it is in my opinion. If those linebackers are not going to be able to cover this week, listen, now, this is Grant. Nobody can cover Gronkowski. I don't care who you are in the National Football League, what team you are. You got to be able to mix it up a little bit. You either jam them at the line of scrimmage, you put linebackers on them, you put safeties on them, you do something. Just mix it up a little bit here and there to throw the timing off. But you're not going to stop this guy.
No.
You also have to understand the linebackers are going to have to cover Edelman, Amendola, all these guys. Because if you give Tom Brady time, like you gave Drew Brees time, that's all I'm going to say. Okay. Now, I will tell you, I got a little shout-out for my wife at home. She says, I got to tell you something. I have a good feeling about the Giants this week. Now, she doesn't say that very often.
Really?
Yes. So, and if the Giants win this week, I will forever listen to my wife, her premonitions going forward.
You don't want to say that. There's something about being indebted for life that's not a good thing.
Well, I'm indebted I'm indebted for life with my wife anyways because she's keeps – tell you what. I don't know how she puts up with me every once in a while. But, listen, this Giants team has got to play a perfect game this week to win, in my opinion, Paul. You know, the injuries, talking about Prince, you know, why? Listen, this team's in first place.
Yes, they are.
You got a player that is – you need him back. No reason to rush him in a game where, you know, you're going into the bye next week and need him the rest of the season. Let's get him 110% healthy. I think that's good. with Pugh, you know, that's good news. I don't know how that happens sometimes with dehydration, concussion. I think it's just more of a protocol that, you know.
To be fair, it was 90 degrees with 102 heat index in Tampa. That was pretty nasty.
Well, it is. I get that.
I enjoyed it, by the way.
Well, of course. I know. We heard about it all the whole pregame show. But, yeah, Lance and I enjoyed it being freezing cold in the studio at WFAN, by the way.
Was it like 60?
It was freezing. You could hang meat in that place. I mean, Pete, our producer, came in, and he had a sweatshirt on with a hoodie over the top of his head. I mean, I was like, what's going on? Pete goes, we're in the other studio. It's freezing in there. I'm like, all right, whatever. I walk in, it's like, oh, my God, there's like icicles up there. And then you come in and tell us, oh, it's 90 degrees down in Miami. It's so beautiful. I love it. Oh, my God, I've been
sunbathing. Well, just wait till we really are in Miami in a month, and I'll be telling you about 90 degrees
then. All right, well,
to
Tampa, excuse me, whatever it is. It's not far away from there anyways.
But I mean, you know, certainly that was something that some of the guys had to deal with. JPP coming back in his first game.
He's from Florida, so he's used to that.
It was an impact, though, on 40-something snaps.
You know, I got to thinking about that this week, and I this is, again, anytime, this is my opinion. This has nothing to do with anyone else. But I had a feeling that, from what was reported earlier in the week before the Tampa game, that how many snaps everybody thought that JPP was going to get. I think it's a credit to him that what he's done between when he had his accident and when he came in here to play last week, his conditioning level, the team looked at him and said, wait a second, we're going to let this guy go 15 plays. This guy is in impeccable shape. Let's just let him go, you know, and I tell you what, I think he proved to the coaches that, hey, let me go. Let me go. I'm in shape. And it certainly helped. Now look at this game. They're going to need JPP. Now, I'm sorry, I'm just babbling here.
No, but I want to build off what you just said because they rested him some in the third quarter,
yeah,
thinking that he would have some gas left in the fourth, and it turned out to be important.
Absolutely. Well, it's going to be important this week because, you know, you got to have to get after one Tom Brady. Now, JPP has pretty much, you know, said that he is, and I sometimes don't understand. I guess sometimes when people's microphones are in front of him, they say things that
he's a confident kid.
He is a confident kid. Good. I hope he is.
Let me go back to one thing though that you said at the beginning, and I want to address this now, and then we're going to go to these phone calls because they're lighting up like a Christmas tree. You mentioned the Giants linebackers being very, 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 very important. Mm-hmm. The Patriots play a sub package more than 80% of the time. They play a ton of nickel and a ton of dime. Now, if you're going to tell me that you're worried about the Giants linebackers being able to cover those short and underneath routes, do you go heavy sub package and say, you know what, maybe they only want to have one linebacker on the field?
Well, okay, which one?
Probably Kennard. Do you want to do that? Do you want to go
heavy DBs? Which, by the
way, DBs?
I did not know this, and I found this out later, that Kennard actually had the green dot on last week. And, you know, we were thinking that Brinkley was calling the plays, but it was actually Kennard last week, which is a good, you know, that's just kind of inside information that, you know, that's good. So
maybe that's not a bad idea.
When you said Kennard, I'm thinking, you know, maybe that's what happens there. But I don't know what they do. I mean, I got to think that Coach Spags is going to come up with something creative, something to disguise and mislead, confuse the Tom Brady, if you can. Overinflate the football, something, I don't know.
I'll say this. I don't think you're going to see three Giants linebackers on the field for too many snaps.
Two maybe, but
not too many
you
threes.
You can't. You really can't. And, you know, again, you look at what the Patriots do, and the Patriots got to look what the Giants do, too. The Giants are pretty loaded offensively, too. So this could be a high-scoring game.
I think it has to be honest with you, for the Giants to have a chance. I think it has to be.
And I think the Giants, to win this game, have got to play good, sound football, meaning no turnovers, because that is imperative against a team that can score like the Patriots. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that I think defensively, they are really going to have to emphasize that bend but don't break defense, you know, because they're going to get their yards. New England's going to get their yards. Going to have to try to keep them out of the end zone, and then the Giants offense is going to have to try to outscore the Patriots because it's and they have to play a good game because the Patriots will capitalize on mistakes. And you know that both these teams are very well coached. So I don't think this is going to be a blowout. I think this will be a fairly close game, and I think it's high scoring. There
let's
you go.
Let's put it this way. If it's similar to the game in New Orleans, but the Giants have the ball last, I think you'll like that.
All of us will like that.
Let's go to the calls. Chris from Syracuse, you're first on the program. Hello.
Chris.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's happening?
Hey, P-Dot, I just wanted to give you a compliment, man. I think you're a pro's pro when it comes to the reporting and doing the show.
Thank
and everything.
You.
Really enjoy when you're on there.
Well, I appreciate it. Trust
me,
I love it.
He is.
And the rest of you guys as well. But a couple of quick points there I was just thinking about. What's going on with Schwartz?
He's been battling a chronic ankle injury since he got hurt at the end of last season. That sucker has never really fully healed. And quite frankly, Tom Coughlin has gone with that, what's the term he likes to use, manage the guy during the course of the week. So he gets practices off because he just can't go full tilt for the full load.
Okay, but is he going to play Sunday?
He's supposed to.
Okay. Good, good. I was happy to see that we kind of – that Unga made the team, and I thought he really earned a spot in the preseason, but I was really baffled about cutting Jameel McClain. And with Beeson going down now, that even looks like a more curious move to me. What's going on with him? Is he out and about anywhere, or is he done? What's he up to?
I think he's done.
A mutual friend of mine who talked to Jameel last week, and told me that he has not gone on any visits. He's working out. He is interested in potentially continuing his career, but to this point, there's been no invitations and no workouts. And
hey, I was
so
wondering
that's
if they had something to do with that stinger and they were worried about his health moving forward, you know?
That's always got to be a concern for any player, doesn't it?
Sure.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah.
And just real quick, one other point, and then I'll hop off here. Let me tell you what I can't stand about New England Patriots fans, at least around these parts. And that is that they have got such a following of people who love winning. It just drives me nuts, man, because I like, you know, if you're from New England or if you're a real fan of the game, you got to take your hats off to what they do. But the people around here couldn't even name a formation that they're looking at on the TV. But, man, they love those Patriots. It drives me nuts. So I hope that we can steal another one from them.
Chris, I understand your feelings, but you could just show them the Super Bowl trophies, and the Giants kind of beat them twice in the biggest game of their careers. So, anyway, thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Marquise from New Jersey, you're next on the show. Hello. Marquise, you're next on the program. Did we lose you? Hello.
No, he's there.
Hello.
Hello. Hopefully we got his name right. Is this Marquise?
Yeah, y'all got my name right. Yeah, my name is right. Yeah.
Because usually Lance he butchers names. So I just want to make sure.
You mean the short guy who usually
right.
does the show with you?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's up, Marquise? What are we going to do for you, man?
Yeah, man. About this team, I don't know, man. I mean, I really hope we win. I really need this W. Man.
It's
going
to be tough.
But
that's why they play him on Sunday.
Right, guys. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's like y'all said, if we treat Tom Brady like we treated Drew Brees, yeah, it looks like it's going to be another NFL record in the passing touchdown. But I'm holding out hope that we can get a pass rush going finally. And, you know, our defense, we're like an opportunistic defense. As y'all should know, you know, we did score three consecutive defensive touchdowns in the game, you know, like, you know, three consecutive weeks or whatever. But, you know, I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I'm going to go with my heart, and you can write this down if you want to. I'm going to say Giants win.
There you go.
38-35.
38-35, so we're going high-scoring. That's
Thank you, Marquise. I do think it has to be.
Thanks,
if the
Marquise.
Giants are going to win. Let me give you some food for thought, Marquise, okay, as you munch on your lunch. And, Jeff, I want to get your take on this, too, because I do think it is potentially
How
an
do you know
avenue.
He's
I'm guessing it's a little
maybe,
12.
Maybe he ate at 11.
Okay, perhaps. This could be an avenue for the Giants to succeed. The Patriots have jumbled and juggled their offensive line throughout the first part of the season, either because Belichick wasn't happy with the way the guys were playing or because guys were nicked up. So that potentially is the biggest weakness.
I think it's a little bit of
team.
Both. I think it was a little bit of both.
Now, last week against the Redskins, they had two guys playing tackle for the first time in their careers. Center Brian Stork went out to right tackle, and right tackle Cameron Fleming went over to left tackle. Now, they held up against the Redskins, and we obviously know they won that game 27-10. But nonetheless, these guys are in unfamiliar spots, and they're on the edges. And I don't know if Spags can just unleash a fury of blitzes. I don't know if you want to do that against Tom Brady, or if he just says, hey, JPP, whatever you got, just bring it and work off of the edge and see if you can do some damage. I'd like to believe that that's one of the areas, if not the primary area, the Giants can work on.
Well, I think you have someone like JPP with his speed on guys like that or that haven't played, especially a center going out to tackle. I mean, he's so used to having guys helping him on the left and on the right.
No doubt about that.
So I think that can actually help. Now, what are you going to get on the other side? Are you going to get a DeMontre Moore, who's a quick fast get-off guy, to make mental mistakes? Or are you going to get a Robert Ayers to try to, you know, get his game going? But, yeah, I agree with you. There, if you got to try to find something, Paul. I mean, you really do. And so, you know,
and it's hard with them.
That's exactly. So you try to find something and maybe just pick on it, and maybe it works. Have a plan B. If that doesn't work, come back with something else. Now, I would be afraid and I would be cautious of throwing the blitz at Tom Brady, because we all know how fast he gets the ball off anyways.
Under 2 seconds a throw.
And so you're
this year.
If you can't get home after 9 games this year, you're probably not going to get home in the 10th game with the guy throwing the fastest, meaning getting the ball out of his hands the quickest of anyone else in the league. So, see, what I'm getting at is you got to find little things, and this is a very difficult matchup because this offense will eat you alive because he's Tom Brady and his resources, if you will. The resources are those two little 5'6" little trolls that roll around in the middle of the field all the time, and the 6'7"
calls them minions.
And 6'7" guy that, like Gronkowski, that he's too big for a safety. And then, listen, I guess the other thing we haven't really talked about is the injury at their running back position, but we know historically what the New England Patriots do. They have this little box that they reach into and they grab players out of there that nobody saw that could play and plug them into a game, and they run for 130 yards.
Well, LeGarrette Blount is a tough, hard-nosed, physical runner who can run it between the tackles.
He can
and
pound it.
Proved it to the Redskins last weekend.
Yeah, after Lewis got hurt.
So, in any event.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, watch the two Patriots tackles, because that may be a potential weakness to try to short-circuit them just a bit. Hugo from New Jersey, you're next on the show. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Look, Hugo wants to talk about Patriots.
You guys are just doing a terrific job. You've actually hit on a number of my points. I think, you know, the key of this game is really to customize around what are at least the temporary weaknesses of the Patriots. You guys hit it. I would not have Jasper Brinkley was good last week. You had a running game with Doug Martin, but this week he's not equipped to deal with the Patriots. So I would pull out the old Perry Fuel favorite, the three safety package, and that would probably be my base defense. And I know that sounds a little bit crazy, because if they go to run formation, Gronkowski is a two-way tight end, right? So he is a threat blocking for the run game. But I would just take my chances with that offensive line and LeGarrette Blount, as opposed to, you know, just letting that short passing game just eat you alive up and down the field. The other thing
if you do that, which safety do you want to sneak down into the box more, Collins or Dahl or Merriweather?
Well, you know what? I think we have three box safeties, and all the action is going to be in the middle of the field. For this game, I'm not so concerned that Amu Kamara is out, because the Patriots don't usually go outside the numbers. But I would probably put Merriweather down in the box and have Collins, who I think has slightly better range, probably play more middle. And then Dahl be the complementary safety to Collins.
Okay.
That's the way I would. Dahl.
There's some sense in what you're talking about there.
The other thing I want to say, I hate losing John Hankins, obviously. And
yeah,
in the long run, that's going to hurt. But, you know, this week, I think actually having two, three technique defensive tackles with the quick first step penetrators is actually probably a good approach with Brady. So I wouldn't mind seeing Jenkins and Bromley as the two tackles, and then I would have JPP and Ayers be the base ends, and then more maybe kind of trickled in there for obvious passing downs, long-distance passing down situations. And then I guess the third thing I wanted to say is, you know, I haven't heard a lot about J.T. Thomas. I know he's suffering from an ankle.
Yes.
But maybe long run, maybe the three linebackers are Kennard, Thomas in the middle, because I think he did play that in Jacksonville, and he had some leadership skills.
He played a lot of spots in Jacksonville.
Yeah, and then maybe Casillas at the weak side. And I think there you maybe have a combination of three guys that have speed, can cover, and can also come downhill. And, you know, Jasper Brinkley can be complimentary depending if the team has a strong running game or not, you know, base running game. Anyhow, those are my thoughts. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. It's going to be a tough task.
It is, Hugo. Thank you so
much.
I
appreciate it. Jeff, he makes an interesting point about Jonathan Casillas, who, of course, spent some time with the Patriots. In all your years in the NFL, what had been your experience when guys swap teams? Does the offensive or defensive player usually have the edge?
I think the defensive guy does.
Because?
Just because of the recognition of him being a defensive guy, seeing the Patriots offense so many times, you know what I'm saying? So I think it's just that they can recognize formations and personnel better than the offense and going against the defense. I just feel it's a
okay.
better.
That's fair.
Yeah, I just think that the defensive guy has a better recognition of what they're trying to do offensively. So whether it'll help them or not, I don't know, because everything is different, you know. But the Patriots they game plan every game differently. Their
they
packages
do.
are similar. Their personnel are, you know, different in a sense, but from when the last guy played on the team, but. This team is coached differently every single week, and Coach Belichick, he does it an unbelievable job of game planning week to week to week. He really means it when he says he's on to Cincinnati or he's on to this.
Yeah.
Because that's really what he is. He's on to the next team, and you know, they're already breaking it down.
The Giants do have three former Patriots, and not only Casillas, but Shane Vereen and Brandon Merriweather. So there is no doubt that they understand what Belichick is thinking and what he's doing, and whether or not it's going to help, I don't know, but it's certainly an interesting thing to talk about. I know one thing Vereen said yesterday to us when we were talking to him in the locker room, and I said, you know, he knows all about your yards after the catch and the things that you could do to hurt a team. He's not going to let you beat him.
No.
And he goes, you know, I've been thinking about that. And I know he's got something cooked up.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously Bill knows him too.
Yeah, there's no question.
That's the way it goes.
You know, and sometimes I'm not pitching this game to be one for the ages here. I think that, you know, you're talking about a 5-4 team who's barely has a slight grip on first place in an NFC least division. Really, the division is horrible. To a team that's 8-0 and it's coming off of, you know, they just continue to look amazing, but. You have to kind of go with the history here is how these two teams have played against each other, how these two coaches have coached against each other. And if it does get into a close game, we now go into my area. That would be the special teams.
Yes.
That that can make a difference. I see two really good kickers in Josh Brown and Gronkowski. They both have streaks going of their own. I think one of them's 28, the other one's 23.
23 for Josh.
And 28, I believe, for Gronkowski.
I didn't realize that.
So
he's number one. I did know that.
So those guys are obviously solid. You got Brad Wing and a young guy who, if he can really come through and pinning the Patriots back and giving the Tom Brady offense, you know, 90 yards to work with and 85 yards to work with, that's going to lend itself pretty nicely for the defense. The other thing is that kickoff return for the Giants has historically this year have been pretty good. I know that Dwayne Harris was actually number one in the National Football League coming into the game last week. So getting the ball out to the 30 to 35-yard line for this offense just could be big for them.
punt coverage for the Pats. I know what some
very
people
good.
Like.
They're very good.
4.8 per return.
Yeah, they're
third
like,
best
they're,
in the league.
Third in the league. Yeah, they get after. They have good gunners. Why? I'll tell you why. It's because Bill Belichick doesn't see the game particularly from just two sides, offense and defense. He sees it in all three phases and pays attention to every single one of them equally. He believes in the players that he gets on those back into the roster guys. They must be smart. They must be very versatile to be able to play different positions, and they must play special teams the way he wants you to. Or
remember,
you're gone.
That's what he started at.
Or you're gone.
He was a special teams coach way back.
Or you're gone. You're out of there. So those guys play their butts off. And that's why, you know, in coverage teams, that's where you kind of look at your special teams. A group of core guys. If you got a good coverage team, that means they are busting their butts down the field on kickoff, and they're busting their butts on punt cover.
We got to get to a spot here, folks. Fans, don't forget Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. I got some Twitter comments I want to get to, Jeff.
And by the way, later in the program, as everybody waits to the very end because they want my picks for DraftKings. Look out this week. I got some good ones for you.
Uh-oh.
So hang on. They'll be there soon.
A.J. Marshall makes a legit comment. It's been a while since the Giants have beaten an elite quarterback.
You know
and
what?
That is true.
There's no question about that. I don't know how far back we got to go. Probably a couple years.
2011. According to his remark.
4 years.
According to his remark. That's obviously not accurate, but it's been at least two seasons.
I mean, it all comes down to what you consider elite, but I think we could get into that category in another time. But you're right, though. That's good. That's a good point.
Rob Hines Jr. says Harris will be a huge factor this week out of the slot and returning kicks. He's very, very big on Dwayne Harris.
Why wouldn't you be? And he says,
give me
scrappy Harris
he's tough.
The no-yak Randall. Well, let me tell you something. You got to like this guy. I mean, he's tough as nails.
He's a pit bull.
He really is. And I think that he's the type of guy that can motivate other players to play better by just seeing what he does on the field and his toughness. I know Coach Coughlin really likes him.
Let's see here. We have George DeJesus says, if we lose this game, you have to see Philly, Green Bay, Atlanta, St. Louis, all with better records. Is it still possible to make the playoffs? Well, if the Giants lose Sunday, they're 5-5 going into the bye week. I think we all pretty much agree 9's going to win the division. Heck, 8 might even win on a tiebreaker, but the Giants don't have a lot of good tiebreakers going
for
them.
Yeah, they need
9. So I think they need 9. After the bye, and I don't want to go too far ahead here, but you've asked the question.
You asked the question, and I'm going to let you continue. But as of today, the Giants have the toughest remaining schedule of any team in the National Football League.
Well, and it's not hard to see why. At Washington, Jets, at Miami, Carolina, at Minnesota, and Philadelphia. So, without getting too crazy here, if the Giants are 5-5 at the bye, if you want to say the Patriots will win Sunday, and do the Giants still have a chance? Well, that means they're going to have to go 4-2 over their final six games to get to 9-7. Okay, we're following the math here. Well, they've already beaten Washington. The Jets, I don't know what the Jets are with Fitzpatrick at quarterback.
All right, so potentially there's two wins there.
That could be two. I think they could certainly beat Miami. All right, Tannehill's been up and down. So that could be potentially three wins coming out of the bye. That means they need one more against Carolina, Minnesota, or Philadelphia. And I think we all know it really could come down to that last game against Philly.
Well, I've already said it. I think I might have been on the board. I said it weeks ago that that's the game.
Did you already?
Yeah.
Okay. It could be.
Well, why wouldn't it be? Those are, in my opinion, we know that those are the two teams, the Giants and Philly. If they go kind of the way things are going as of now going forward, it's going to come down to those two teams.
All right, let's
Dallas
see.
Isn't in any four.
We have, let's see.
They got their own problems down there in Dallas. I mean, was there something happened in the locker room today?
Yesterday. Des Bryant getting into it. I'm not even going to deal with that. Wee High Cleek wants to say, I'd advise against putting Demontre Moore on Gronk. That was one thing that somebody called up about yesterday. He said, because if you do that, first of all, he's big, he's strong, and he's fast, and he won't be hitting the quarterback late if you put him in coverage on Gronk.
Yeah, but he'll be holding, and you know what? I can tell you right now, they'll get in a shootout as far as their mouths, because I know that Demontre Moore likes to talk, and so does Gronkowski. I could just see those two guys going at it, and one getting the better of the other. I'm not going to tell you who.
Although we have Easy BKY says, can you guys let me know how Demontre Moore is in coverage? If he's decent, could we use him as a pass-rushing linebacker?
Well, you can't all of a sudden say, okay, you're going to be a linebacker today. He's a defensive end. He was leading the team in sacks. You're going to have to let him go and do what he does and hold your breath that he's not going to get a fourth personal foul against you this year. Because it would be just like him to want to take out Tom Brady.
Ricker81 wants to know, do you believe the Giants can run against the Patriots? He says, if we can ball control and keep Brady off the field, we can win.
Well, I don't think that the Giants' running game is anything to hang your hat on. So, yeah, they can run on the Patriots. Will they do it successfully? I don't think so. I really don't. I just think you're going to have to stick to your bread and butter, and that's just throwing it all over the place.
Well, the thing you got to remember, and one of the reasons why the Patriots have the third-rated rush defense in the league at under 90 a game is because they jump out to early leads, and people just got to start throwing it because they got to come back from huge deficits.
Not always, though. I mean,
it's part of it, though.
But listen, they've been out of the eight games. I would say that half of them they've been in some close, pretty. I mean, I don't see close games like 1 point, but you know, you look at the game last week again. Washington was a close game. The Jets gave them a good game. There's one other team in there
they've had margins of victory of greater than a touchdown, except for a 7-point loss to Pittsburgh opening day, and they also lost to the Jets 30-23. So 7-point wins against Pittsburgh, the Colts, and the Jets, 7-point
wins. And what was the last score of last week's game?
27-10 against Washington. 17. They were beating by 17.
All right.
Yep. No one has come within 7 points of them is the point.
But, I mean, I just think the answer to his question was I don't think they're going to be able to run the football on this team. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen either. I think the Giants' best mode of attack is to get out early, throw the ball quickly, get a lead, and make them play pinball football and try to stay with them. I think that's the best way. Do the whole Saints thing all over again. I think that's the best way.
And get one of the Patriots ex-players involved in the game. I mean, really, at this point in the season, we really don't have any real viable, in my opinion, tight end that we can go to guy. So I think Vereen actually becomes more important in this game.
Yep.
And you know, the Patriots, they get it done with just – they're guys. I mean, they don't do a lot of heavy blitzing. They get it done with their front four, which, you know, this offensive line needs to protect. I mean, both Eli and Tom Brady get the ball out of their hands fairly quickly. So, stick with that and you'll be okay.
Twitter's blowing up, but we got phone calls. So
yeah,
I'm going to get to the calls. Yeah. Nick from New York, you're next on the show. Hello, 201-939-4513, by the way.
Hi,
go
Nick.
Ahead, Nick. Hi.
Hi. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good.
Very well.
Good.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. Big week this week. You know, playing the Patriots is always a big game, but I think it's a bigger game than usual, and I'll explain why. I think if the Giants somehow were to be able to win, I think it'll go a long way to determining the future of the franchise. And I think we all know that Mr. Mara has put Reese and Coughlin on notice that this team has to do well this season or changes will occur. And this team, which hasn't beaten an elite team or an elite quarterback since 2012, they would, if they can somehow find a way to win the game, and I do believe Mara and Tisch want Coughlin and Reese to stay because, you know, let's be honest, it's hard to find Super Bowl winning coaches and GMs. But the last few years, the results have been less than stellar, and And since the Giants aren't want to be an elite franchise, yeah, you set the bar high. And that's why I say this game, if they win Sunday, it could go a long way to restoring the faith of the ownership in the GM and the coach.
Nick, I'm only going to say one thing.
The psyche of the fans.
I think you're putting a lot of eggs in this one basket because the Giants could easily lose this game, be 5-5, and still make the playoffs.
Never make the practice, never make the playoffs.
They could lose this game and still be a playoff team.
I'm not putting all the eggs. What I'm saying is that if they win the game.
Well, that's great. But conversely, they could beat the Patriots and then wind up having a bad stretch after the bye and not make the playoffs, and that means this win means nothing.
Which is true, but I think I do think that if they were to win, I think like remember the last time they went to the Super Bowl, they were an 8-8 team going against the Jets, and they were kind of floundering. They had a big win, and they had two big wins. And they made a run. Now, if they can win this game, maybe they can make a run. There's no guarantees. But this team hasn't beaten a franchise, an elite team, since 2012. I think this team really needs it.
Well, this would be obviously a huge win.
Thanks for the call, Nick.
Because we're going to have to move on. It would be a huge win for them. It would be a step in the right direction. And I see what you're saying is the fact that it could give this team a little motivation. It could give them a lot of confidence. You know, we just beat Tom Brady, the undefeated. That gives me a confidence saying we can beat any team now, and maybe you do get on a run and head in and make the playoffs and go, and that would surely make it a lot easier on Coach Coughlin and Jerry Reese, as you alluded to. So, good.
All right, Christian from New York, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, guys. I have a couple ideas about defense that I wanted to get your opinions on.
Let's hear them.
So, number one, on the big passing third downs, when you know they're definitely doing it, I'd really like to see some creativity and see DRC on Gronk, man-to-man. Just shut him down. And number two, I'd really like to see a lot of in-your-face man coverage this week because those Patriots receivers aren't really about long speed being burners. Those guys are quick. And I think they depend on you playing soft. So that way they can get all their underneath stuff that they're known for.
Yep. You got to beat them up off the line. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I'll make one comment about what you said about DRC and Gronk. The first coach that I remember, and Jeff, you're going to have to go into your memory banks and see if you can come up with somebody else. But the first coach that I remember assigning a cornerback to a tight end was Bill Parcells when he was coaching the Cowboys. He assigned a corner to Jeremy Shockey. Because Shockey had become such a pass-receiving threat for Coach Jim Fossil that Parcells was going to have none of it, and he put his nickel corner on Shockey. It's not something teams usually do.
How did it work?
Mixed results.
I think that's what you'll get if you do this with DRC and Gronk. You're all taking one of your best corners, although you're putting them onto one of their best receivers. So, yeah. I mean, it just goes to show you how much thinking's going into this. It's very difficult to go ahead and try to cover him and come up with a philosophy to get him.
That is their best receiver.
Yeah,
so
there's no question.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Remember this, though. I think that DRC is an outstanding technician. He closes well on the ball. He's got terrific ball skills. He's not the most physical of defensive backs. And Gronk is a horse. I mean,
yeah,
he can out-physical you anywhere on the field.
No. He'll just flip them off like a fly.
So that could be a dangerous matchup for the Giants because if Gronk starts beating on him, you know that's not DRC's game.
And I only mention the press so much because I mean I think their offensive line isn't going to be so good where we're getting destroyed by playing press coverage. I mean I understand why Spags has been playing so soft all year, but this might be one of those games where. Our D-line can get there, and if they can get there, then press, you know.
All right.
We'll see what happens.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Well, Spags has certainly got a plan. They all have a plan, and they've got to execute it.
All right, let's remind fans that Big Blues Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. At what time do you usually do your fantasy picks?
Take a couple more calls.
All right,
let's
go.
Get to Joe at PA.
Go ahead, Joe.
What a Friday would be without Joe.
Hey, great to talk to you guys. It's great to be in this game. And I was just listening to some of the callers there, the ones saying we got to win this game. I think it's important, like I could remember back in 07, you know, just so we play a good game and we're in it to the end and we know we can play with these guys. And that's what's propelled us to the Super Bowl last. And we got to go game by game. And who knows when injuries and stuff, we win it. That's great. Strategy with defenses and long yardage and stuff like that. I still think it's better to keep the receivers in front of us, you know, especially these crossing routes and that. Make sure we don't miss the tackles. Don't give them no more. I can remember back and that's when we're gang tackling and at and more chances for turnovers and stuff like that. I'd like just keeping that, you know. Whoever's front and Gronk and a safety over the top, keep him in front. And the same with the receivers, like I said. I remember going back, Belichick using some of his strategy in the Buffalo game. You remember that, Paul? There was at times he was only rushing two guys, you know, to keep it in front of us. So,
no question.
It's all in front of us, and I'm even the coaching in this game. It always seems like Coughlin always outdoes Belichick, and Eli sure as hell holds up his own. And if we get into the fourth quarter, they'll be thinking, oh, here we go again. You know, they might be more worried than us. So thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. I'll say one thing. I hope that the game's close and Bill Belichick singles up Odell Beckham like he had Hobbs singling up Plexico Burress at the end of the Super Bowl in Arizona. Because that was, truthfully, one of the dumbest coaching decisions I've ever seen. And I'll be honest, for that to come out of Belichick, I'll never forget the ending of that game when Plex caught that touchdown. Because, and this is a true story, folks. This is absolutely true. I don't know if Jeff's ever heard this one before. I was sitting in the end zone opposite from where Plex caught the winning touchdown in Arizona. I was upstairs in the third deck in the auxiliary press box working with another organization at the time, one of the other sports radio stations. And the guy sitting to my left was from the Buffalo News. And he was a very, very, very big Bills fan, very anti-Patriots. When Eli broke the huddle in the red zone just before the play to Plex, I tapped him on the shoulder and I said, don't worry about it, Plexico Burress touchdown. And he looked at me. By the time the Giants had finished lining up and Eli took that snap and he flicks the ball to Burris in the left corner and he scores the touchdown, and the guy next to me, he's like, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. How'd you know? I said, because did you see the formation?
Hobbs, I did. I've seen it 150 times before this game.
Hobbs, man-to-man on the left wing with Burris, who's got, what, 7 inches on him?
Probably more.
I mean, was there any way Eli wasn't going to complete that pass?
No. I mean, because Eli saw it. He said, I'm just going to throw it up. And it was a perfectly thrown pass.
I mean, what was Belichick thinking?
I don't care what he was thinking. I'm glad he did it.
I mean, that was like taking candy from a baby, truthfully.
Let me tell you something about – I'm just going to give you from a player's perspective here, something that everybody needs to know about teams going into the bye, as in teams like in the locker room.
Right.
How – first of all, it's very difficult when you lose going into a bye week, because it sucks. You got 2 weeks of thinking about the game, okay? Some of the things that coaches do to motivate players in a way to get them to maybe win the game is time off. Now, I remember one year we were going down to Jacksonville when I was in Seattle and Holmgren was the coach. And there was no way that we were going to beat the Carolina Panthers.
Okay.
We couldn't beat them. It was just, you know, it was one of those years where, like Hent, that there's no way that the Giants can beat the Patriots going into this game.
Okay.
Holmgren said to us in the team meeting, he said, you guys beat the Carolina Panthers, you have the whole week off of the bye week, right?
Players love that. Players love that.
Okay, so instant motivation, right? Because here's what happens. All of a sudden, you start thinking, I can go out of town. Now, remember what happened. Just don't go to where, like, the Cowboys did that year. Remember they went over?
Yeah, Cancun or whatever.
But yeah, but I'm just – my point is this. There's some motivation there. And so you're always thinking about that in the game. I swear
really?
To you.
Come on.
Think about is we got to win this game. We got to have the week off. Because especially now at the point where the Giants players, this is the latest bye week of the rest of the year.
I've never bought that.
Well, that's you've never been inside the locker room. You never played NFL either.
I never played.
I'm telling you right now, it's a motivator. Now, I'm not telling you that Coach Coffin's giving the guys off. I'm just giving you a story on how it can motivate some other things, okay? And even if you don't get that whole week off, all you think about is the fact that you're going to get a little bit of time off. But it's a lot easier when you win. It really is because you got a bad taste in your mouth when you lose going into a bye week. It just doesn't sit well as good as it would if you won the game. So don't be surprised if there's a little extra motivation at the end of this to be able to beat an 8-0 team, to take a 6-4 record into the bye week atop the NFC East. Okay, just trying to give you a little insight on what happened. Well, inside the ropes.
It certainly would put a lot of pressure on the rest of the teams in the division if the Giants can get this win on Sunday, without a doubt. Anthony from Long Island, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's up?
I wanted to talk a little bit about the Giants' defense because, obviously, I do feel pretty good about the Giants' offense. I feel good about their special teams. I think we can match the Patriots on that end. But defensively, it's obviously the most concerning situation, and I think that obviously everyone's going to want to try and find a new way to cover Gronkowski, and I have to say I'm very against bringing in the extra defensive back because that makes them so vulnerable against the run, and I can recall games where the Giants' game plan was to stop a vicious passing attack. Maybe it was a few years ago against the Indianapolis Colts. Perry Fuels, the defensive coordinator, and they were playing Peyton Manning, and they figured Peyton's going to throw the ball on us all night. Let's bring in the extra DB.
I remember
and
it well.
Of course, he saw that, and they just ran the ball constantly, and it was torture to watch. And I have a feeling Tom Brady would do the same thing. It doesn't matter that they lost Lewis. I think they can run the ball with anybody on that team with a hole in the middle of the field.
Well, this team certainly has not shown you that they can stop the run very well the last 3 or 4 weeks. They did a little better job last week against it, but, you know, still they gave up a 59-yard run that gave them – you know, over 100 yards rushing, but still, you're right. You're right about that.
And that's where losing Beeson is really big.
Yeah.
So I actually think that other caller that mentioned, you know, bringing in just someone to an assignment, like DRC or whoever, against Gronk, that might be your best bet. And obviously you're not going to win every play, but try something different because the Giants right now are extremely vulnerable in the middle of the field, and they can't allow the Patriots to get that running game going. So I would do that. I would think maybe someone has to be up to the task and see if they can cover Gronkowski. And right now, I don't think it can be a safety. Maybe even Kennard would be an okay matchup one-on-one. But obviously, the Giants are probably going to run some more zone and stick with the front four and do the things that they like to do. I don't see them changing too much.
Well, let me say this to you, all right? Gronkowski this year, the fewest times he's been targeted in any game this year is 5. Okay, that's the fewest. He's been targeted as many as 16 times in the Jets game when he caught 11 passes for 108 yards and a touchdown. Okay, so, I mean, he can be the focal point or he can be a complementary player, however Brady wants to do it. That's what makes them so difficult is because he's got Amendola. He's got Edelman. He's got Blunt to hand the ball off to if he wants. There are so many different places he can go. And don't forget about Scott Chandler, the former Bill, who's a good pass-receiving tight end. You see, what a lot of people don't get about the Patriots, and Jeff, you've been around the league a long time. Most teams, when they run double tight ends, usually they're a run-oriented team. That's not the Patriots. They are the only double tight end team.
Out.
Yeah. They're the only double tight end team that primarily passes out of it.
Yeah, but why not? I mean, a lot of teams don't have the ability to have two good tight ends. I mean,
well, this started when they had Hernandez.
Yeah,
and they continue to do it.
You know, I think that to really kind of talk about what your plan would be for Gronkowski, this league likes to copy one another and when they're successful. So you go back and you look at that thing, the stats you just had up there, Paul.
Right.
I went and looked at, you look at Indianapolis and the Washington. They held him, Gronkowski, intact. Those two teams did. Let's go watch those films, see what they did, and improve on that.
Brady just gave the ball to other people. It wasn't that they stopped him.
No, but what I'm saying, but the answer to the question is how do we stop their best receiver? All right. Well, if we could do what they did there, and then toughen up our defense by some other thing with these other guys. The problem with the Giants' defense is what you said. And I don't care who goes out, and they are vulnerable in the middle of the field. Guess what? The Patriots earn their living in the middle of the field passing game, period.
Yeah,
that's true. And I think you guys just kind of figured it out. Like, no matter what we do, focus on one thing, the Patriots are going to look to exploit it somewhere else.
There's no
so
question.
So maybe what Coughlin's always done well against them, obviously it's been a long time, but the last three games they've played, the Giants have never done anything fancy. They've been very simple. They allow Brady to read it normally. They don't give him a certain spot of the field that's overshadowed. They just play, usually only rush four. They only blitz on occasion, sometimes in the secondary if you go back to Super Bowl 42. But if they are in those situations, they can get those third and longs and blitz the secondary and keep it simple on the defensive end, then maybe we have a shot. But you got to match them offensively.
I think
for the call, Anthony. Go ahead, John.
I just think that, enough is enough by playing base and doing the things generally speaking. If you listen, call a spade here, Paul. The Giants have a very difficult time winning this game, okay, period. So what do we got to do? We got to do something different. Change it up a little bit, okay? What do you got to lose? I mean, you're going to have to do something special to win this game. I started the program off by telling you that. You got to play a perfect game almost to beat an undefeated football team, which, by the way, I think they've won 10 in a row going back to last year, including they are the world champions. Let's do something a little bit different here.
Well, let me give you a couple more numbers to digest, okay? Their average points per game is 35. Their average allowed is 18. So they're doubling up their opposition on the average so far this season. They've only given up more than 25 points defensively twice. The Bills actually scored 32 on them, if you can believe that. And the Bills don't have an explosive offense. We saw that last night against the Jets.
Yeah.
And we saw what they did against the Giants. They didn't exactly light the world up, but they scored 32 on the Patriots. And the Colts with Luck, 27, although that might have been a Matt Hasselbeck game, I think it was. No, it was not. It was a Luck game. 27 points. The Giants, in my mind, have to score 30 to have a chance to win the game because I don't think they're holding New England under 30. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree.
Okay.
What is New England's third down percentage?
Third down percentage, number one in the league at 49%.
Guess 24th
what? In the league. Opponents, though. Opponents at 41%, which is 24th in the league defensively.
Giants defense gives up their 31st in the league in third down.
Yeah, that's not good.
So when you match up there.
That's not good.
Okay. That's not good.
No.
So you see what I'm saying here. If you're 31st against the third down and they're number one, you're not going to stay the same. You're not going to be doing the same things you've been doing all season. Change it up. Change it up, please. Okay? They're 31st in passing, too, by the way.
Again, and one thing that we have to keep in mind, Jeff.
Is that we're not coaches?
No, but JPP wasn't there for most of those numbers. He just got here last week, and he did have some pressure last week.
He did have some pressure, but I'm sorry, but JPP is not the second coming here.
He's not Superman, but hopefully for the Giants, he can impact at least a handful of Tom Brady throws, and maybe one or two of them gets picked off.
Now,
see, that's their best hope, I think. The Giants need to get takeaways. They
They're going
to
get there, too.
They have
They'll get there, too. They've been doing it all season.
All right.
Just like we've been doing DraftKings all season.
We got to get to his picks, so let me just remind fans that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings, fantasy sports, free to play. Jeff Eagles, who are your picks?
Week 10, baby. Week 10. All right. Cam Newton. QB is going to cost you $7,000, all right? They've been red hot all year, and see that streak continuing. Newton's having an MVP-like season. I see him putting up more points this week against the Titans. the Titans, folks. Cam Newton versus the Titans. Newton's projected to score 23 points. And like I said, it's going to cost you $7,000. Running back, with no Ben Roethlisberger and no Le'Veon Bell, I see D'Angelo Williams getting plenty of touches this week. He's going against the Browns, who lead the league in giving up the most yards to opposing running backs. Williams is predicted to score 12 points, listed at $6,500 for him. And Brandon Cooks, wide receiver. We saw him a couple weeks ago against the Giants.
He sure did.
He's lighting it up. I have a feeling that he's going to continue it this week. Drew Brees is on fire. He loves Cooks. He's been one of Drew Brees' favorite targets all year. I see him connecting more this week. Cooks projected to score 14 points. It's cost you $6,000. So there you go, guys. Cam Newton, D'Angelo Williams, and Brandon Cooks. That's my DraftKings lineup of the week. To draft your own lineup, go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code CONTACT. That's C-O-N-T-A-C-T, CONTACT, something we need out of the Giants' defense this week. To claim your free entry today, that's DraftKings.com. There you go, Paul. There's my read, and good luck, people.
All right. A couple of other Twitter questions or comments. We have 3 minutes left in the show. We're not going to go to any more phone calls. But, again, the number is 201-939-4513. Write it down, and we're here Monday to Friday, obviously, to bring you Big Blue Kickoff Live. This RU Dog says, we better play like we have nothing to lose. Everyone's counting us out. Perfect opportunity to go play lights out. I do think that the Giants – I have a very loose atmosphere in the locker room this week.
Good.
I do think that they feel as though no one thinks they can win, and it's like, let's just put it out there.
Well, it's the truth. Nobody thinks they're going to win the game other than my wife. But really, you know, hey, this team always plays better when nobody thinks they can do anything.
It's been that way for a while.
Long time.
Yeah.
They don't do well when all of a sudden they say, oh, this team's going to win the division, they're going to go undefeated, yada, yada, yada. Uh-uh. That's not the way it works.
Let's see here. We have Donald says, if Gronk lines up just outside the tackle, have someone knock into him into the offensive line on every play. Well, we're talking about being physical. And quite frankly, okay, Kennard is got the size and the frame to do that. The question is, if you assign him to Gronk and to beat him up at Gronk on the line, now you're taking him out of the blitz package. Do you want to do that, Jeff?
Yes. I don't think the blitz package is something that we need to get into with Tom Brady.
Okay.
You're going to have to get after him and A-gap pressure to get in there and just get him, because he's going to get the ball out. He's going from shotgun. He's getting the ball off and 1,001 went gone.
I know.
I mean, so the blitz is going to get him? Well, maybe. If the blitz doesn't get him,
not. Maybe
it kind of throws off some timing. But I would rather put my eggs in a basket when it comes to covering the middle of the field rather than getting pressure on him, because I just don't think you can't give him both ways. You know, if he sits back there and waits and you're playing zone coverage and giving up the middle of the field, he's going to eat you alive. They're going to go back and they are going to look at the New Orleans Saints game plan against the Giants. And that's what the Patriots are going to do.
We have another interesting comment here. It says, take chances, especially when it comes to going on fourth down. No field goals. If we're in field goal range, go for a TD unless it's to end the game. I do think this. Giants need to make the most of their opportunities. Settling for threes and not getting sevens, especially when you're in the red zone, is going to get you beat.
It will get you beat. We said that earlier. You said they got to score 30 points. Well, they're not going to score 30 points by kicking field goals. So, yes, I think, you know, early in the game, it just depends on when and where you decide to roll the dice. It's a good question. But I think that if you talk about scoring, this is going to be one of those games where you're going to have to score over 30 to win this game.
Yeah, it's definitely going to have to be a high-scoring affair. All right, folks, it's 1 o'clock straight up here in New York. That means it's time for us to say goodbye. Remember, Big Blue Kickoff Live is here Monday to Friday from noon to 1 Eastern Time, and we're always available to take your questions about the football Giants. The Giants and the Patriots, Sunday at MetLife Stadium. It should be fun. For Jeff Eagles, I'm Paul Dottino. We'll see you next time.
All right, here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Got the field. He's got through. 35, 30.